So here is the question.
Hang on. Okay. What question do you want to ask?
When was the last time you sang the national anthem? Or as far as Pat's, concerned, O Canada. And if the Swiss Miss is on here, whatever her national anthem is. When was the last time you sang the national anthem or O Canada?
I can't remember for sure.
Sally says it's school for her.
What?
I can't remember.
My question is, what did you do to try and remember when was the last time you sang the national anthem or O Canada? What did you do?
I tried to remember me actually standing, an instance of me standing and singing.
Did you consider anything, Andrew?
I started thinking about times that I do remember singing it, and then I was trying to flip through and think of the last time I remember singing it.
Ask Sally what she did.
I thought of the song first.
I didn't hear you. What?
I thought of the song first, and immediately I had like an image of where I was and what I was doing.
Okay, now, I want everybody to listen very, very carefully. To recall such an incident, you all created an image of your doing that, and the image then was a vehicle for recalling the memory. The reason we bogged down last week was because you never created an image of what I was saying, no matter how long I've harangued about this. And when I asked you to say, put things together, you hadn't put things together. And when you said, well, what do I do? You really meant, what do I do to get a conclusion or to cause a conclusion? And because you hadn't created an image, you couldn't take pieces and parts and put them all together and see them functioning. Anybody want to take offense to that?
Yeah, sure, I do.
Okay.
I was taking the pieces we were talking about, and I was putting them in images, but I had like four images, and I couldn't get it all to, like you said, function together.
Well, Andrew, I interrupted you about four times because, let's assume you had images. You languaged to me from the very beginning that you were seeking to create a consequence. Now, of all the time we've been doing this radio, last week was the only time I've ever listened back to what was going on. I didn't want to approach tonight without having listened to the whole thing over again. Two things became clear throughout the whole thing. Everyone was only languaging. It was kind of like language, the pattern of languaging in everything that was being said was front and center. Secondly, everybody was only looking for consequences. What do I do to give the right answer? Or I will add something else so that I can, that'll help me get the right answer. Believe me, I have listened. And that's what went on, and we bogged down, and in my opinion, we bogged down because no one really created an image of what we were saying so that you could follow the flow or the movement of the image. You couldn't, in a lot of ways, decide what to do because you couldn't find a word that was the right doing word. Now, if I'm wrong, I don't believe so, because I listened back to it whole 2 hours. But that's where we went. But that then brings us up, if there are no dreams, that brings us up to several things that I wrote, one of which was I completely changed the focus of August. But anyway, I want to read something, and I'm going to read it uninterrupted. And part of the reason why I'm going to read it uninterrupted is, to start with, we can create an image of what this might be saying, and then we can go back. Or when I say image, you could have an image by a feeling or a sense. It does not necessarily have to be a visual image. However, almost everything else other than a visual image will be faulty. Anyway, anybody want to say anything more before I begin? You're welcome to do so right now.
Nope, go for it.
Okay. I'll read it through and then we'll come back and go over it. The universe is individualizing. In expanding, the universe is moving away from oneness, making room and time for separate and different, and creating space for particular and distinctness, allowing for events and memories, creating eternal as reoccurring. Resplendence, also known as cosmic consciousness or universal consciousness, is awareness of this activity of individualization. Each sentient being in the universe is an individual center or focus of mind, not of consciousness, within which the same event is separate and different, or can be separated and differentiated in infinite ways. Any belief in oneness contracts and compromises the universe and yourself to an unknown, unknowable state or condition. Individualization of the universe benefits you. Oneness and interconnectedness destroys you. Individualization brings about endless recurrings or rebirths or replacing and supplanting without death and without endings. Actually, believe it or not, oneness is the oneness of death, not of life. Individualization brings you alive. Continued individualization keeps you alive. And this is what the expanding universe is doing. Living in harmony with the universe and with yourself means expanding further and further in individualization, not in contracting to oneness. All actions are separate and different. Therefore, be careful not to connect them as actions and reactions, not as cause and effects either. For believe it or not, all such connections destroy awareness. And as you turn away from separate and different to interconnectedness or to oneness, your understanding diminishes. In fact, oneness and interconnectedness will destroy you. If you, as a result of endless interconnected causes and effects, if you are the result of endless interconnected causes and effects, that's kind of like what Aristotle said, then you are nothing. Is that satisfying to you? If not, well, more causes and effects won't even relieve or alter that situation. Is it possible for you to live in terms of separate and different actions, not consequences? Actually, can you believe, think, attitude, emotion, speak, and act, and desire and experience in terms of actions, not consequences? This is what life is all about. Death is about reactions and consequences. Personal beings struggle endlessly with consequences. Eternal beings grapple with eternal consequences. Resplendent beings are guided only by actions, not by consequences or reactions. That's why they are resplendent. All languaging is focused on consequences and trying to cause right consequences, and judging the consequences presumably caused. But intentions, consequences, and judgments are not imposed or implied in the language of resplendent beings, or into the language used to describe events and occurrences. Your languaging conveys you or betrays you, and you cannot hide. Okay. Let's assume that made any kind of sense to anybody. Anybody want to start with a comment, or should we go over this again, or not at all?
Oh, I'd like to go over it again. I find that a really nice encapsulation of everything you've been talking about for a while.
But it's an encapsulation of everything we did wrong last Monday.
Yeah.
The universe is individualizing. What image does that have?
Roger, this is Sally.
Sally, I can hardly hear you.
Oh, sorry. The image that I saw is, I'm just thinking of pixels, like in a picture, that is it, you zoom in or expand the picture, then you see that then there's space between the pixels, and each pixel isn't necessarily connected to the pixel next to it, as one's there and then one connects to it to make something as a sequence or cause and effect. It's just that each pixel then is an individual something that put in a different way or expanded more then individualizes and again is something else in this larger whatever. So that's just the image I got.
Two things, and this all comes up, you know, don't give me this got shit. Don't stand there and say, I got this image. Like your dreams, you didn't get... Wait a minute.
I created this image.
That's right. So, and when you give me that image, I have to say, well, I wonder why she created that image or something else. So that each thing you do, when you speak in this way, reveals you. The question might be is, do you want to be revealed to the world? Or have you got some hidden dark secret that you're trying to keep from anybody ever knowing? That's just a sort of a semi-rhetorical question. Anybody else want to tell me about the image they got?
Sure, I made a picture of like what you see in a microscope with cells dividing and then dividing and then dividing and dividing and differentiating, and I guess I maintained that as a pattern for everything you said, and I felt like I followed everything you said. I thought it made sense to me.
Do you want to deal with this, Patrick? Anything?
Well, actually, I was so focused on what I was going to say, I didn't really hear him. Sorry.
My question is, and now I guess I'm a dumb twit or something. If the sentence is four lines long, the universe is individualizing, why would you not start with an image of the universe doing something?
I sort of did.
Well, no.
What I pictured was a big gray-black background with a kind of like just sort of, I don't know, nothingness or just something that's without differentiation. And the reason I use the word cell dividing is because I think you can get that picture better than, I don't know, that
why?
Picture of the black.
When you switch off the subject, you make it more difficult to understand. In that regard, the universe is individualizing. Blackness and stars, the universe. Well, okay, you do what you want, but this is why this making another image that doesn't relate to what is being said is what then makes it almost impossible for you to follow along.
Okay.
And then in the second sentence I say, in expanding, the universe is moving away from oneness. Do you create anything other than blackness, stars, expanding, and moving away? I don't think so.
I want to ask you a question here very seriously. As long as the image, whatever you pick, follows the pattern, does the specific of the image matter to the degree
it does? It does because, like last Monday, when I said, what's going on? And I say, you have four or five things. You have the past, you have the memory, you have assembling, and etc. That meant nothing to you simply because those four things, or whatever five things were not part of your image. By going out and creating a side image and not including any of the various things that I was saying, you couldn't recapitulate. It didn't make any sense. I said, you have everything you need to know. What would you do in that regard? And the reason you didn't know what to do was because if there was an image, it didn't include those four or five things.
Okay. I'll give you some feedback if you want now or later.
Right now.
As a listener sometimes to what you say, I honestly don't know if, I mean, what you're saying about following what you say is the specific image makes sense, but sometimes, like last week, I really don't know if the what I think of as past and assembling and things is really what you're talking about.
But that,
so
Andrew, I've said a dozen times, interrupt any time and talk to me about, or ask me, don't wait and then say, I don't understand what you said. And I also said that generally I'm going along and I say, is this okay? Is this all right? All I'm doing is using that as a way to give you an entree. And the reason for that is, among other things, is that if I am talking until we change this speaker out. As long as I am talking, you can't interrupt me. You can interrupt me when you get here in August, and you can interrupt me now because we have a new machine. But he who talks controls the machine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying everywhere along after several sentences at the most to pause to say, now if you don't understand, ask a question. We okay?
Yes, you know, I got to, you know, so I'll concede. I think you're doing a fine job on that. Really, it is helpful.
Well, I'm trying to do. Don't tell me I'm doing a fine job because we're still not getting it across.
Well, you say that, you know. Yeah, you say that. I mean, you know, and for various reasons, which I won't go into, maybe whatever I do and maybe I don't. But anyway, so, yeah, I guess I'm just telling you last week, I don't know. Sometimes, like, I use, okay. You don't want to hear this, right?
What do you mean I don't want to hear it? I wouldn't have brought it up.
Listen up. Just listen, because you keep interrupting me. What I want to say is, how many times in the last 15 years have I followed my images and then, you know, so far down the road, find out that I'm not even thinking what you're talking about? So maybe I don't commit fully to an image of what I think memory is or what the past is. Maybe I should do a better job of just trying to do that, you know? And maybe checking with you to see, this is my picture. Is this meet with what you're talking about?
That's right. That's the same way with dreams. When we did dreams and let's say Sally would give a line and I would ask you, what image do you have from that line? And it was constantly a matter, from the dream, what image do you have relative to the incipit and etc. So I've been doing the same thing constantly. And of course, I understand, I have an advantage. I'm an old fart. Well, I didn't see television until the 1939 World's Fair in New York City. I lived in the world of radio, where you had to create your own images, and you had to do it along with the words spoken. I have a hell of an advantage. We never had television in our house until I got out of high school. That's a big advantage. And so all I'm trying to then say to you is, you don't realize what television has done to you in this regard. And the radio doesn't do any good to listen to the radio because all you have is crappy music. So, I was almost an old fart before I even saw television, 1939.
Yeah, whole 8 years old.
I don't know, my engineer just said something to me. But you see, then we go into the next sentence. In expanding, the universe is moving away from oneness. Isn't that a concept of, let's call it for the moment, Big Bang? It's moving away. And in moving away, the universe is making room and time for separate and different. Is it possible then that you could say, yeah, you know, on a grand scale, the universe is doing that. Maybe on a smaller scale, that's happening too. Maybe that's what my life is about, that I'm expanding, but I'm not expanding my awareness and crowding stuff in. What I'm doing is expanding my awareness and et cetera of life to make room, both in time and space, for more particulars, more particulars. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is it possible then that you're crowded by your memories in this regard? You're not allowing for events and new memories. You keep repeating the same thing. You're squeezing things in. And if I don't talk to you in terms of your old memories, what do you do? Well, what I'm getting at in that first paragraph is about, we won't read the rest of the paragraph, but that's essentially what I'm saying. Can you, and how can you, make room for more particulars? Because the more you remember and rely on your memories as you do, you put the screws to yourself. Mm-hmm. Each sentient being in the universe is an individual center or focus of mind, not consciousness. What does that mean to anybody?
It means you might hear us and we might hear you, but we're not really thinking of anything. Might be unconscious.
I know. But I think the sentence essentially is focused on mind, not consciousness. What, if that's the case, what does that mean?
You know, that's exactly what I was wondering when you read that line. I think mind, I was thinking mind is just the stuff of the universe.
No.
Data information?
Wait a minute. Listen. Data and information. Isn't data and information particular and separate? While consciousness is a, huh? What the hell is consciousness?
I have no idea.
No, I'm not asking you. I'm just saying. You would. This is the point of, let's say, Buddhism or whomeverism, etc. Why I said mind, not conscious. Because mind and minding and data and information is a bunch of things, separate and different things interacting. Does that make sense?
So mind is plural.
Is what? No, mind is mind, M-I-N-D.
But it's a plural. It's just not. Is it singular?
Andrew.
Mind.
Go ahead.
So mind, you're saying, Andrew. So you're asking in terms of grammatically.
When he says the word mind, is my picture a bunch of stuff or one thing?
Andrew, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If I speak of dirt. To you, do I speak of one thing or a bunch of stuff?
Well, I assume a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Then, if I define mind as data and information, can we not say that when I use the word mind, exactly like I use the word dirt, I mean a whole lot of stuff?
Right. That makes sense. Or money. Same principle, money is a singular word, but it means a lot of different things.
That's right. But it is that we can then talk about money or mind in particulars.
Right.
You cannot talk about consciousness in any kind of particulars.
Right. Good point. That clarifies one thing for sure. That's great.
And what I'm then saying is that in mind, when we're talking about particulars, within which the same event is separate and different, how can the same event be separate and different, let's say, for each person? Or, let's finish that sentence, or can be separated and differentiated in infinite ways. How can an event be separate and different, or be separated and differentiated in infinite ways?
Because every perceiver will dissemble the data and information of events, check against their own memories, and then reassemble the data according to their own memory pack. And each individual has their own particular and unique memories.
Okay,
so
but
therefore it will be.
Let's simplify that for a moment. in terms of last week. I said, you have a universe and events that are random. You know that all things are past, and that you assemble all things from memory. Now say exactly what you just said. And when you do that, don't speak of consequences, speak of only of actions. I only gave you three things to deal with.
Right.
Did you run and hide there, Patrick?
No, I did. I didn't realize that you were asking a question. So speak only of the three things.
There are three things. And essentially, what I'm doing is I'm simplifying. I give you three things. Last week I gave you five. Right now, you've got all events are random, and you assemble, and you're always in the past. Now, simplify. How do those three things interact without consequences or without conclusion? I don't care what the conclusion is, but how do those three things just interaction in motion? And they essentially say the same thing you said, very simply.
Okay, then an event simply occurs.
Okay.
And by the time I perceive any piece of the event, it's already past. I rely on memory to pull the pieces together to make sense of it, the event for me, and there I've given it a unique
Let's get off of I rely on memory. The event is past, and I remember or memory the event.
Isn't there a couple pieces there, Roger? I've asked the question. There is that since by the time I am apprised of, or I'm apprehending an event, it is already past, so I'm already dealing with memory there. Do I not stretch myself out to other memories in order to?
You may or may not. That doesn't matter. What we talked about last week is that then, if you are already dealing with memories, you have already disassembled it to data and information. Whether we talk about comparing or not, that's comparing to make to gain some understanding with something that you've already remembered. And I didn't put that into. If you're into memories, you've already disassembled it to data and information. Then when you essentially see or apprise yourself of the event, you have reassembled that from the data and information. We don't care whether you've made any comparisons yet, but you have then reassembled that event the way you wanted to event it.
Okay.
And you see that what I'm trying to get across here in that is that you took those three things and only talk about the actions and interactions, not the conclusions, which is what goes into at the end of this thing. What if your entire life was only involved in actions and nobody care about either your intentions, which are previous conclusions that you want to create, or conclusions which then trap you in judgments in that regard? What if intentions and conclusions are no part of your life and you dealt only with actions? Do you think that would be so bad?
No, I don't think it'd be too bad at all.
You see, then you wouldn't be judged for your intentions. You wouldn't. There's no judgment because there are no conclusions, etc. and you are not trying to create something that's going to happy you or damn you, whichever the case may be. You're only dealing with your own actions. We understand that?
Yep.
I don't for a second. Maybe I'm leaping ahead then.
Go ahead.
I am.
Go leap.
That the, let's say, for example, I'm hungry, and I think I want something to eat, and I take an action to acquire some food. Is there any sense in kind of focusing on the objective, or how do I make that?
I'll tell you how you do that. Don't you understand that in asking that question, which is exactly what happened Monday, that in asking that question, you put yourself into a cause and effect, an action reaction, an action conclusion situation, and then said, disprove it. What if all along the way you, let's say, ate 30 meals a day or pieces a day, you didn't save up and then conclude, but that you were always responding, or that's not the word I want, that you were always acting as you would truly desire, taking in. Would you come to an accumulation where you now have to then do something in order to resolve a problem? Haven't they said, health people say you're better off to eat 8 or 10 times a day rather than fill yourself up in 3 meals or 2 meals or whatever meal? I'm just trying to get you to see what I've been talking about for 15 years has nothing to do with fixing, concluding to overcome or to solve a problem. It is a way to live without getting into the problem in the first place. Now, when you then come,
I'm having trouble creating an image so far of living a life that is action.
I don't disagree with that in this point, because you are only focused on the consequences, and that means that any image you create is an image only of consequences.
Yes, and I'm asking you if you can illustrate life as simply actions.
Well, all right, let me ask you the question. If you were looking up at the stars, would you see actions or consequences?
I would see continual actions.
That's right. So, in other words, I get you off focused from yourself for a moment in that in your face illustrations of this kind. What if what we're talking about is that the universe, without intention, is just acting. It's just doing. An event is only an action. It is only a doing. It is random because it has no prior intentions. You get, as in my first Forever Living book about, you get so focused on what it is you are trying to cause that you don't pay attention to what you're doing. Is it possible that you could bring your attention back only to what you're doing and not concern yourself with the consequences of the doing?
I think that's possible. I even sense that's possible.
Okay, this is the... I don't disagree. We went through 32 articles of cause and effect. I don't really disagree with that. You got a problem, but what you don't understand is that not doing that, like I say, focusing on the action, has created problems in your life that you had not at all, you have never even conceived of.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. That's really clear to me. Now I'm stretching out to see what continually expanding and expanding and expanding my life would be like in terms of action, action, action.
Okay.
I have a question, Roger.
Yes, Ed.
So I have this, so it's like, so kind of like as we're talking about this, I've tried to create an image. I've stepped into like the a scenario of only acting, and I have this question that if I was only acting, I might never ever react, ever.
Andrew, let me say something. I think I said for all my years that to live, or suggested that you live self-evidently so, such that you never react.
Yeah. Okay.
This is what I'm talking about. You see, what you've done is you've gotten yourself into reacting, reacting, reacting. You've got then, because of the reactions in that regard, into problems, difficulties, illness, the sickness, wants, and desires. And now you're trying to do is to add more reacting, responding, or cause and affecting to overcome what you have already created. And what I'm suggesting is, and have been for 15 years with you anyway, that living self-evidently, you're so yourself that every action is what you're living. You are not living consequences, and you are never reacting. Now, how could it be that in living self-evidently you would never be reacting?
Well, I'm picturing that every moment, every action would be an awareful, conscious action, and I wouldn't be, let me see, how would I don't know how to describe a reaction just yet, but...
Well, at the least we could say, you wouldn't be surprised at something that happened in your life.
Now, you know, I haven't quite gotten that part of it yet, but okay.
I'm just saying that you could you not?
I think so, yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
Let me give you one other idea. Is it possible that if something happened, that by the time you react, there it is already into the past, and it would be possible for you to remember that event? Now allow me this. Relative to yourself as a resplendent being, not as an individual who just got trampled on or hit with a hammer.
Sure.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right. If you think so, here's what I'm asking you. Did you take a context of, let's say, seeing yourself or feeling yourself always and truly being yourself, and because I added to it, being yourself as a resplendent being, that everything that happened around you at all times, no matter what it is, good, bad, or indifferent, at the present time, that to you saw as resplendence that did not require your reacting to. Does this make sense?
I think your question was, did I do that? Is that what
no,
you were
no,
asking?
No, no, no. I said, could you do that?
Yeah, I could do that.
And so then, when you say, when this becomes struggle, what I'm saying is, what you're doing if you did that? What is, if you did that, what are you doing?
Closing the door.
I don't know. I mean, I'm living as a resplendent being.
What does that mean?
It means I'm living actions only.
All right, let me get away from that. Does it mean that you are, since you know everything in the universe only relative to yourself, that you've set a context for everything in your life?
I think it does mean that, yeah. I think that's...
So that no matter what the event is, you see it and know it as a resplendent event. No response is necessary. No judgment is occurring. So you're seeing only and experiencing only the actions of that event as a resplendent event in your life.
I think so.
So it is then that you set the context. Is this okay? Is there any difference between you setting the context in your life than you're setting the incipit of a dream and understanding the dream relative to the incipit?
No.
Is it possible that if you have the incipit of the dream and understand the dream relative to the incipit, no judgment or conclusion is necessary?
Right. Yes.
Because you understand the dream and you understand the dreamer relative to the incipit or the context or the resplendent being set. Is that okay, Andrew?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, do you understand?
I think so, yeah.
Is it okay with you, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm right along with you there, yeah.
Now, Patrick, I'm not going to say anything. I just want to talk in general terms about what we talked on Saturday, okay?
Okay.
Last week, was it last week or week before last? The week before last, Patrick and I were talking again about something that came up, and he asked me, or we talked about, from Patrick's words, why do I have difficulty understanding what Roger is saying. Is that okay? You understand that, Andrew?
I remember that, yeah.
Okay. We talked about that on a Sunday morning week ago. And he said, I will have a dream for you on Monday.
Right.
He didn't have a dream. Then he had a Monday night event, the event that we went through. And then he had an event on Tuesday. And then on Tuesday night, he had a dream. Is it possible that each of these events, and finally the dream, each of these events in his life was actually an answer to that question, which, in a sense, set a context?
Yeah.
So, why do I have difficulty in understanding Roger was answered for him in the context of, even though he didn't have a dream, in the context of Monday night's conversation. I'm not going to go into any details.
Okay.
But he didn't understand that. So an event happened on Tuesday. The event was so consistent within the context set. But unfortunately, here was the problem. He didn't write that question down. He didn't say, this is a context for my life that I want to have an answer to, so he didn't get a dream. Then he didn't understand on Monday. Then he didn't understand the event that happened on Tuesday. And then he didn't understand the dream that he got on Tuesday night. Is it possible, because then I went through it in detail, is it possible that if you set a context for yourself in life as being a particular individual, a particular resplendent being, that your living that will be every part of every event in your life?
That's very possible.
You see, but if you haven't set a context, I think I called it a declaration. If you have, and then called it not a vague definite or an all-inclusive declaration, I think I called it a very particular privileged declaration. That if you set that declaration and begin living that, that every event will come to you in that way, and if you're asking a question, then every event relative to the context you have set will answer that question. Every event.
Can I ask a question real quick here?
Sure.
I'm having trouble following you because it sounds like you're tapping the mic or something with a pen or something or other.
Not me at all.
I got it too fast. It's very distracting.
Not me at all.
Yeah. Okay.
I have nothing in my hands.
So
I have my hands together praying that somebody understands. So, if you don't set a context, I mean an absolute context for yourself in life, everything will come without an understanding, without an insipid, without any understanding. It's kind of like I said, 2 + 3 = 5. You don't understand anything. But if you set the context of 5, then everything makes sense, comes to you in a relationship of 5 and makes sense to you, and nothing is denied you in that. You can live every number in the universe that ever was or ever will be.
Right.
But it'll only make sense if you set a context for yourself. If you set a context for yourself, then intentions and consequences are of no consequence. Actions alone make sense relative to the context you've set. If you haven't set a context for yourself or for an understanding, like creating an image which starts giving you a context, if you haven't set that, then nothing action-wise will make any sense. And consequence-wise or intention-wise will distort everything. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah. Hey, by the way, since we're on this topic, instead of talking in the generality, would it be okay to maybe illustrate how this worked with past questions?
Give me an answer. I don't know that I want to go through the details of the events. I just, because that's
okay. That's what I was asking. It's fine.
That's what I said. I was just going to talk to Patrick. I was going to talk in generalities. I wasn't going to talk about any of the particular details because then we would. But you're beginning to see then that we could. Do you see what you just said, Andrew? Is you wanted the details. Could we talk in the details in terms of the particular actions, not the consequences? In the individualizations, the data and information, and the interactions between the data and information have nothing to do with the conclusion. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Think so.
So what you're asking me to do...
Roger?
Yeah?
Can you stop for a minute? I think somebody has their mic open or something and is moving around because we hear kind of this shuffling, banging, bump, so...
Oh, I hear it too. I mean, it's not unusual, but it ain't me.
I don't think it's you. We just think somebody else should go on mute.
I don't necessarily disagree, but I can't deal with everybody's action.
I hear it too.
Good.
Well, that includes everybody hears it, nobody's doing it.
Now, what kind of action is that?
Oh, now it stopped.
Okay, well, somebody felt guilty.
Okay, thanks. Okay, go ahead.
So the question is, can you look at actions as being separate and different, not and see the interactions of things, and not bog yourself down in, let's say, seeing an action and then wondering about the consequences? Can you not just deal with the actions?
Yes, and Roger, it seems to me that if I start focusing on or sensing consequences, it means I've dropped out of action.
Exactly what I've said. You get so focused on consequences, which you can't focus on anyway because you can't assure any consequence.
Right.
And you then don't know what you're doing. For instance, like you said, I don't know what to last Monday. I don't know what to do. And whenever you say what you don't know what to do, I will finish the sentence. You don't know what to do to cause a consequence. And you don't know what worded action that you should follow that will cause the consequence.
You know, I think I really understand you when you said it that time.
And all I asked you was, what would you do?
I really hate that question.
I don't, but you see what we're talking about. What would you do?
Well, see, I hated that question because I was looking for a consequence and I didn't know. So now what you're saying makes more sense.
I didn't ask you to consequence something because I hadn't talked about it. If you have four things, what would you do? How would you look at those four things as interacting, not as consequenting? My question to you, if you did this a little at a time, here's what I've said. You never judge the actions of something, you only judge the presumed consequences. Get your mind off of consequences and you begin to get your mind off of all judgments which put the screws to you anyway.
Right.
We okay with this so far? because it's only some kind of presumed consequence, and you then are living by judgments and consequences and don't even know or understand what you're doing.
Right on. I get that. I see that.
So the question is, it is only a particular action in any regard for you or anyone else. It's only a particular action you want to deal with, not any of your presumptions of a consequence of that action. Is that all right?
I'll
tell you a little. I dealt with two banks and our federal Medicare system, okay, today? Or I've been dealing with them for days, weeks, or months. Now, the reason was not because of any consequence to me, but because their actions and what they were doing, if they didn't change the action, anybody who got into the system or did anything like what I was doing in confronting them about their actions was going to be screwed in the same way. The consequence of that is I got, and I'm now saying consequence of that, but I didn't get in it for the consequences. I'm speaking from the gal. She is dealing with how the Medicare 800 number gives out information whenever you call. She is dealing with rewriting or adding to the medical system booklet that is sent out to everyone. These are unknown, unintended consequences at the time. I only dealt with the action. She is dealing with the way and the manner of the contractors respond. And she's dealing with the entire appeals system that Medicare goes through. And finally, she approved my appeal. I didn't get in there or do this. By the way, she approved my appeal, apparently, or my claim, which is something they never, never, never approve. Now, I didn't get into all of this for consequences of, say, hey, approve my claim. I got into it because the actions that they are going through in giving wrong information, following wrong procedures, and doing all sorts of things like that, puts the screws to everybody dealing with Medicare. The only concern was the action. Consequences occurred. Now, what I'm saying to this is, remember I said, if you only do those things which you would be willing to be and do forever, that you truly desire and be willing to do, be and do forever, the actions, you won't know what the consequences will be, but by doing only those actions, you are assured that regardless of what the consequences are, that they will be as you truly desire. Does that make anybody sense?
Yes. Yep.
And I confronted two banks in the same way in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Resolve that problem. Well, I didn't resolve the problem. I pointed out to them not the problem for me, but the problem in their actions that they're imposing upon, by continuing those actions, everybody who does banking with them.
Right.
So, whatever that, could you, can you deal with yourself and life and everyone only in terms of actions, be damned the consequences. The consequences will be as the actions are. Is that okay?
Right.
I can barely hear anybody.
Yeah,
I'm
fine. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to deal with actions, then is it possible for you to deal with every action being a separate action?
Yeah.
You mean as an action?
Is an action complete within itself? Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, then it doesn't need any consequence.
Right.
The consequence is a separate action. Every reaction is a separate action, independent of what the original action was. It's really action and action and action. Never was, never will be, action attached to a reaction, attached to an action, attached to a reaction. Every action is separate and different. Is this okay?
Yes, it's sure get rid of a lot of arguments between spouses.
Would you get... Let's assume for just a moment that I gave you the old saw that what you sow is what you will reap. Now, how would you deal with that? As if you sow corn seed, you're going to get corn. If you sow flax seed, you're going to get flax. Doesn't that mean that the reaction or the consequence depends on what you sow? How would you deal with that?
Good question.
You see, you just tied it all back together again and said that could you not sow corn because you wanted to sow corn? Or sow flax because you wanted to sow flax? Do you have
it,
to...
Is it the self-replicating particle, is it?
Yes.
Yes.
So you don't have to eat to fill yourself up or eat because you are hungry. You eat because you eat. That's what I do. I eat.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Yes.
And if there... Wait, go ahead.
That gets rid of a whole bunch of
becauses. That's
right.
And it gets rid of everything is interconnected. It isn't, because if it's interconnected, then you got to get everything working right to even begin. We're saying, do any action you truly desire. You might get arrested, but you begin to understand, oh, I'll only do those actions that I truly desire. It has nothing to do with because it's right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent, does it?
No.
No.
God and the universe didn't tell you to do this or not to do that. You did this because you wanted to do this. Is it possible that if you continued doing that. Now remember, the back page of the Forever Living book says that when you change or decide to change relative to forever living, there will be some things that'll still be as they were before, waiting for you to clean it up. So, if you're going to change and begin again anew, yeah, there's going to be some old stuff that you had started and is hanging there as a cause and effect problem that you're still going to have to deal with. But you deal with it in the way of, this is who I am, this is what I am doing. You don't get power to the old stuff that is hanging around. Is that okay?
That's really...
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, the problem of all of this then is where we came in last Monday. All languaging is focused on consequences. The consequence of a verb is the object of the verb. I am going to school. I am beginning to understand. I am going to the store. The object of the verb was originally intended only to talk about the verb. We have since made the object of the verb the consequence of the verb. In other words, I am going to the store. That means that in going, the consequence of going was to the store. To the store, instead of saying more about going, became the object or the consequence of going. Is this okay? I mean, do you understand? When I'm saying that, do you understand? And that means that when I ask you, what would you do, or you've got these four things, how do they interact? What do they do? What you're trying to do is, well, if they interact, what's going to be the consequence of that? If I don't know the consequence, I can't tell you how they're interacting. All I wanted you to do was to take four things and interact them. Mix them up. Shake them up. What do they do? And then in the doing, if there are consequences that we care about, that's one thing. But is it possible that everything in your life can be a doing, not a consequence? And if you take the
time... it's possible.
Huh? I think so.
If it's possible.
That's all of what we bogged down on. Now, all right. If I am talking in language, or describing in language in that regard, and not languaging, here's what happens. In languaging, you may see an event happen, an action happen. To language that event happening, you have to, and to make sense to me, you have to put it on a pattern that says subject, verb, object. This did that. What if that is nothing to do with the universe's doing? If you don't put it on that pattern, I don't understand your languaging. If you put it on that pattern, you've sacrificed what's going on or seeing what's going on to the pattern of languaging. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. After we had our conversation, I went back to the play-by-play announcer at a ball game.
Right.
And And the way we were working it, the announcer merely speaks of what is actually actioning.
That's right. So if you create an image like the announcer at the ball game, you can then describe what's going on. Don't necessarily add your conclusions to what might occur. Then you feed back to me what is going on or what is happening, and I know whether I have expressed it correctly or the way I wanted to express it, or whether you have imaged it in terms of what's going on, or whether you have added or not added your conclusions. So we can communicate. The other reason for creating an image is as follows. If I speak, you have no first-hand experience of anything I say. Is this not correct?
Did you say, if I speak?
When I speak, and you hear me speak, you have no first-hand experience of that.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Well, explain it back to me, because I don't think I understand it.
I think everything you speak out is new to me, so I have no experience before.
No, didn't say that. Don't go there. Anybody else want to deal with that, Satan? If
I said earlier in your...
What?
I'm just going to hazard a guess here, but earlier when you read that piece, you talked about I can't recall exactly what the line was, but I got the picture of each event being different for every individual.
Let me see if I can clarify this. If the universe acts, do you have a first-hand experience of that event? If I speak, do you have a first-hand experience of anything I say?
No. Well, I think it depends upon what you call first-hand.
First-hand.
When you speak, Roger, the language, the words that you use come from your...
Don't complicate it, Sally. I'm going to start over again.
Okay.
If the universe events in its own way, do you have a first-hand experience of that event? Yes or no?
Yes, because you're the one...
The answer is no, 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 and hell no. And the reason is because by the time you got it, it's already a memory. And you are then assembling your own experience of that. So you have no awareness of any first-hand experience of that event.
You had to define the first-hand. Yes, you did. You needed to define
first-hand. First-hand means direct.
Okay. You did something with the words that came or the event universe.
But it doesn't matter. By the time I'm dealing with the event, it's something that I have assembled. Is this not correct?
Yes.
Then what do I have a first-hand experience of the event, or is it the first-hand experience of what I have assembled?
Oh, yeah, okay. But by clarifying that, I know what you mean by first-hand. Thank you for sharing that.
Do you have a first-hand experience of the event?
No, I have a first-hand experience of my assembling.
Okay. If I speak to you, do you have a first-hand experience of my words?
No.
No.
You have a first...
I only have a first-hand experience of how I assemble your words and what they mean to me.
Okay, now listen very carefully. I'm going to ask you a simple question.
Okay.
If you convert all of my words to an image, what do you have a first-hand experience of?
Me converting all your words to an image.
So you have a first-hand experience only of your image?
Yes.
And the more you practice converting the words, which are second-hand, directly into images, then you have a first-hand experience of the image, which is my word.
Right.
It's the same way as when you're listening to the radio, you're listening to the shadow who clouds men's mind. You create the image of the radio show, and you have a complete first-hand experience of your image, which may have nothing whatsoever to do with the radio show. But because...
Right.
What?
Right, I agree.
Okay, so that the more you practice converting to images, the more you are, let's say, correct. In other words, if you don't understand anything you ask and I repeat or I say over again, then you are creating the image and experiencing the image. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If you created an image of yourself as a resplendent being and used that always in the context of everything you do, would you not then have a first-hand experience of yourself as a resplendent being doing?
Yes, Simone and I agree.
Sure.
Simone?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Is that okay. So then the languaging would go to hell. But when you create, I mean, we wouldn't be fussing over languaging. You would create it to an image, and you would then use the language only to describe your image. So you would inputting your first-hand experience of image, and you would give me that back. So I would see the image. I would not be part of the language you're using. The language you're using to convey the image is immaterial. Is that okay?
Okay.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Yes, that's okay.
Can you always describe to your clients so that they have an image of what you're saying, not a bunch of just words?
Yep, I can do that, and I think that would be a beautiful addition to my business. That's a...
It would change your business and your entire life entirely to do that. And also, if you create images of what they're saying, you have a first-hand experience in that to know, one, what they're saying, or what the image they have in mind, or two, you have a way to then understanding whether they're telling you the truth or not.
How so?
Well, you could say, for instance, like Obama, who says he's going to do such and such. But if I create an image of his doing such and such, I then realize he doesn't, as president, have the power to, like for instance, I'm going to pass a health care bill. He can't.
Right.
He doesn't have the power. If I create an image of his doing that, he can't do that. The law doesn't give him the power to do that. This is a say, he administers the law as passed by Congress. Now, this is the problem I have both with the banks and with Medicare. They are administering the law improperly. In other words, it's their actions which are doing, because they don't have the authority to do what they're doing. So, you can then stay focused on the action. Give yourself a picture of what they're doing in their actions. I know they intended something else to occur. And Obama may have said, well, I understand, you know, but I intend to get the Congress to do pass this or that or something else. That's a different thing than his saying he will pass this or do this or that. He didn't have that power in the first place. But he mixes words and does a song and dance with wording, and you think, oh well, yeah, because he's talking conclusions that we'll then have this great, wonderful situation. He can't do that. And he's lying as to what he can do or cannot do. So, you keep me on focus of creating an image for you, which is what I tried to do in what I read from the beginning. The universe is individualizing. It is expanding. It is making room for, I didn't say that it was causing, but in the expanding, it's making room for this, and making time and space for this, that, and the other thing. It isn't doing this, but by in expanding, the very nature of expanding the action is the consequence itself. Making space is the same as expanding, isn't it not? Making more space. In this regard, then, the way I tried to express that was that what you think or sounds like the consequence of an action is the very action itself. Whew. That okay? Because if that's okay, I'm going to quit.
Well, I got
an answer.
Well, I am image Roger in his daily affairs, making some coffee, go and get the paper, read the paper, go outside, assemble the tools that he wants to work on landscaping. And I, if I'm understanding everything you're saying correctly, your focus is on every one of those actions. You're not doing any of them to support or for something. You make the coffee, you get the paper, you read the paper, you assemble your tools, you do your landscaping as you desire. Those are all actions.
And even if I had some sort of intention in mind, I follow the actions or conclusion in mind, and the garden changes 3,700 times as to what I do, how I do it, when I do it, etc., etc., etc. I'm not bogged down with trying to do something to create an end result. I just do, and in that a result is emergent.
Gotcha. Thank you for that, Raj.
Yes.
You see? And then we have to get into all sorts of things about emergent. Okay. Well, and it's like, for instance, for August, I've only changed that about 7 times. The focus of the thing was changed last night at 2 o'clock in the morning. But that's
the
same.
How did you change it?
It doesn't matter. It's just that I keep dealing with the actions. Well, I'll do this. And when that became a this, that action became the focus of the gathering itself. I didn't say, this is what I want to create, now how do I create it? I said, this is what I'll do, and in the doing of this, a focus appeared. Does that make sense?
That's why you can change it the day before you start.
That's right. Because I'm only dealing with the action. You see how important that is?
Yeah.
You okay with that, Patrick?
I sure am, thank you.
How about Honolulu? You guys all right with that? I mean, I don't really care. If you're not all right with it, well, too bad. That's your life. Okay, well, we're going to hang up then. Good night for now.
All righty. Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you for the explanation.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.